And so our scripture comes to us from the John's Gospel, the first chapter. And if you would, please stand as you are able for the reading from the Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, this morning as your word has been read and as it is proclaimed, we ask that you would send your light to open our minds, to illumine our hearts and our spirits, that we may receive your word today. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What's interesting on this first Sunday after Christmas to read from John's Gospel, because this isn't your traditional Christmas story, even though it's at the beginning of the Gospel. When we want the traditional story, we turn to Luke's Gospel. On Christmas Eve, we read from the second chapter of Luke, and it's in Luke's Gospel we have the beautiful account of the nativity scene and that moment of Christ's birth and the angels and the shepherds. So we go to Luke's Gospel for that. Next week, we'll turn to Matthew's Gospel, because it's in Matthew's Gospel, when we look at the Christmas story, that we have the beautiful story of the Magi that came from the East to come and to worship the Christ child. And so another piece of our traditional Christmas story. Now, if you go to Mark's Gospel, there is nothing. Mark's Gospel begins, Jesus is already an adult. We start with John the Baptist, and Mark's Gospel just completely ignores all the beautiful birth narrative. And then there's John's Gospel. And John's Gospel begins very differently. It might remind you of another book in the Bible that starts with the same three words. In the beginning, where's that from? Genesis. In the beginning, John's Gospel calls to mind those beautiful words from Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And so John's Gospel calls to mind those beautiful words from Genesis. And John's Gospel says, right there, in Genesis, when God spoke the world into being, that word, that capital W word, was the word that God spoke, the word that became Christ Jesus, the pre-existent that came to birth and came to live as a human for a period of time and has continued his existence with God, and that nothing was existed except through this word. And what came into being was light. It is beautiful poetry. And it's meant to bring us back to the time of Genesis. And you think about the beginning of time in Genesis when darkness covered the whole earth. Have you ever been in a really, really dark place? Several years ago, my family and I took a vacation to Carlsbad Caverns. And if you've been to those or been to caves of any sort, you know, you go down and the guide has a light and maybe the place is illuminated just a bit. And you get down to sort of the deepest, darkest part, and what do? They turn off the lights. It is a darkness so thick you can feel it, and you literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. That is some darkness. But there's other times that we experience that sense of, darkness. Maybe when the power goes out, we experience that from time to time around here, right? And if it's at nighttime and the lights all go off, you are suddenly scurrying, well, first to find the flashlight, to find the candle, so that you can have some light in your house. That is a sense of just darkness. I think about in the days before GPS, sailors who would be out on the open ocean, if it was a cloudy night and there were no stars, what a difficult time that is. It is dark then. And just the light of a little bit from the stars can help to navigate them. And as sure as there is a literal darkness that catches our attention and from which we want to have some light, there's also more the figurative darkness that we find ourselves. You've heard the dark night of the soul, or you've heard about, you know, if you don't know something, you might say you are in the dark about that. But there is that sense of grief or hopelessness or depression that can make us into this time that feels very dark. There's also a darkness that sometimes can settle over, it seems like, all of humanity from time to time, right? There was a time in our history of the world that we actually call the Dark Ages, right? When things are not going well, when there is a lot of violence or persecution or oppression, you might say that you are going through dark times. Certainly, first century Israel found themselves in such a dark time as they were oppressed by the power of Rome. Countries where there is great violence or where hatred and fear are used to control the citizens might be going through a dark time. There are those who feel our own country is at the cusp of some pretty dark times with the violence that we've had in the past several years and all the things that are going on in our own land. It can feel kind of dark sometimes as well. And so into that darkness that was prevalent in first century oppressed people, listen to these words again. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And into that darkness that can creep into our own psyche, and we can find ourselves in a very dark place, I want you to hear these confident words as well. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. I love that. And Matthew, in Matthew's gospel in the fourth chapter, he quotes the prophet Isaiah, and he says that the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. Again, Isaiah speaking so many centuries before, and Matthew as it's recorded in his gospel, there's both that collective sense and that individual sense of darkness and light. The people who sat in darkness, a number of people have seen a great light. And then for those individuals who sat in the region in the shadow of death, even for them, light has dawned. Jesus spoke about himself in John's gospel. As a matter of fact, John's gospel is full of allusions to light and to dark, and who can see and who cannot see. It is this prologue that we read in John chapter 1, it just sets the scene because John is all about sort of this interplay between darkness and light and those that can see and those that are blind and sort of goes back and forth throughout his entire gospel. I encourage you to read John's gospel. That'll be fun New Year's Eve reading for you. And so I encourage you to do that. Jesus talks about himself in John chapter 8, verse 12, and says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What a wonderful promise that is. Because light breaks into darkness, and light is stronger than whatever darkness it breaks in on. It's like Pastor Joshua's illustration with the children. If the lights were off in here and just that tiny little flashlight that he had would be enough to be able to have some light to illumine. It can give a sense of hope. Like, I don't know if you've ever missed sleep one night and you have trouble sleeping and it just is like the night just drags on and on. Maybe that's only ever happened to me. And it just is early morning hours and you're just wondering, is light ever going to come? And then you see the beginning of a sunrise. And I don't know, but for me, that just lifts my spirit. And it says, a new day has begun. There's hope again. There's that light on the horizon. How that can bring just a sense of lift. I feel bad for folks who live in those countries in Alaska. where it's really dark. It's dark up there this time of year, isn't it? It's like really dark for a really long period of time. And studies have shown, you can get kind of depressed when you're in the dark too long. For me, I notice even living here, we have a bunch of cloudy days in a row and we have no sunshine, I feel like I'm a little flower. I just start wilting. And just the next little ray of sunshine, I can feel my own spirit begin to pick up. We need light. Light breaks into the darkness and conquers it. And Jesus does that. Jesus, as the light, brings hope, brings comfort, brings strength, brings knowledge, brings love, brings life into our lives and into the world. And we're told in John's gospel that John the Baptist was a witness to the light that was coming. It says, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. John was there to reflect the light, to point to the light, but John wasn't the light. And we're told in John's gospel that the light was in the world, and the world came into being through him, but the world didn't know him. How can that be? How can the world see the light and yet not know it? Well, I can see that. Sometimes we don't know the light for what it is. We have some moments of clarity and maybe we discount them. Or maybe there is light that is shining and sometimes I think we do this. Maybe we don't want to see the light. If you've been in the darkness for a long time and your eyes have adjusted and somebody shines a light right in your eyes, right? That's kind of painful. And you cover up your eyes a little bit. And we get adjusted to the amount of darkness that we are in. And when the light shines, our first reaction can sometimes to not be to embrace the light, but to back away from the light. And I think that's true literally, but it's true figuratively as well. And so it was that the light of life, Jesus Christ, was in the world, and the world didn't know him, didn't recognize him, turned away. In John chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said, "While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become children of the light." As a matter of fact, as children of the light, Matthew's gospel in chapter 5 has Jesus looking out at those who had followed them, and instead of him saying, "I'm the light of the world," he says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. And again, as Pastor Joshua's illustration with the children, it's not your light. It's the light of Christ through you that is reflected through you. And Jesus says, you are that light. And let that light shine before others that you may reflect the light from God out into the world, and they will give glory to God your Father. You see, it's the sun for us that generates light and the moon that reflects it. Did any of you see that beautiful full moon just a couple of days before Christmas? When it was just beautiful and so bright up in the sky. And yet the light that we saw, it wasn't coming from the moon. It was reflecting off the moon. So it is with us. Jesus is the sun. We're called to be moons, reflecting his light in a dark world. I really love that we always end our Christmas Eve services with this beautiful candlelighting service. It's especially, I think, powerful for us that get to stand up here and watch as the lights are dimmed in the sanctuary and the light begins to get passed, beginning with the beginning of the rose and then passed down the rose. And there's only a little bit of light in the sanctuary. And as we continue to sing Silent Night, the light is just beautiful. And it is a beautiful example of what it means to pass the light of Christ one to another. Can you imagine if we took that same principle and used it and passed the light of Christ to others, not just on Christmas Eve, but all year long? Not with a candle, but with the reflection of Christ's light through us, if we were as intent on passing that one to another, how that would illumine our community, how that would light up our world, friends, if we did that. We're told in John's Gospel, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived or tabernacled or pitched his tent among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and of truth. The light has come, and the light is present for us even yet. In 1 John, found toward the end of the New Testament, many people believe it was written by the same author as who authored the Gospel of John. In chapter 1, verses 5 to 9, he writes, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So my question is, as we stand on the cusp of this new year, with the light from the Christmas Eve service still so strong right in our memories, how will you bring the light of Christ into 2019? How will you do that? Well, in 1 John, I think it reminds us maybe we start with acknowledging our own propensity to darkness. Maybe we start by confessing to God that there are times that we avoid the light, that we don't want the light to shine on this particular part of our life, but only on this part. Or maybe there's just days I don't want to reflect the light, and so I want to sort of stay hidden in the darkness. Maybe that's how we start, is through a time of confession, and then to ask for the true light that is Christ to illumine our ways, to inform our thinking, to direct our actions, to cleanse our hearts, so that we may indeed be children of the light and walk in the way that leads to life. The darkness is dark. Light is stronger. Darkness can't overcome darkness. Only light can. I want to close with a quote that says, "The ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral, begetting the very thing it seeks to destroy. Instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. Through violence, you may murder the liar, but you cannot murder the lie, nor establish the truth. Through violence, you may murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. In fact, violence merely increases hate, and so it goes. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." Those words written by the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. so many decades ago are as true today as they were then. Let us resolve in the new year, friends, to live as children of light, that we may reflect the light of Christ into our family, our work, our school, our community, our nation, and our world. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, we do confess to you that there are times that we know the light is there and we avoid it. We ask that you would free us from our fear of the light, that instead you would help us to embrace it, knowing that beyond that light is a love that is so deep we can't even begin to fathom it, that you know us completely and that you love us completely, and that your desire for us to walk in the light is born out of your great love for us and for your world. Help us, O God, to be children of the light, to embrace it, to reflect it, and to lead others into it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.